Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Peace, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like.
The epistle reading for today is taken from Romans chapter 9. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it, that is, a righteousness that is by faith. But that Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand.
Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 19. When Jesus drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation. And he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, It is written, My house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. And he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him. But they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. This is the gospel of our Lord. I'd ask the children to come down front and join me this morning. It's a good looking bunch there this morning. How are you guys doing today? Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. So you guys want to learn some Greek this morning? Yeah? Cool. That sound pretty good? All right, you ready? So repeat after me. Ready? Kyrie eleison. Very good. Christe eleison. Kyrie eleison. That's very good. You guys did a really nice job. Now, you know what we just said there in Greek? Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. That's one of our prayers of the church, and we just did that this morning. In our service of the word and part of our liturgy, that is how we worship here in church, and we just did that together. We said, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. Did you guys know that's a really old prayer? In fact, we can trace that back to even the Old Testament times, where they said, Hosanna. Okay? And it's a similar prayer of, have mercy upon us, O God. So this goes back a ways. So what you were just saying, when you said that in Greek with me, that's how the church was saying that in the early church in the first part of the first and second centuries. Long time ago. Think about that. Long time ago. And so we know that as Christ, when we come into church and we know that we, in our confession, and when we hear the pastor then speak those words over us, that our sins are forgiven, we know that then we can continue to ask God to give us the things that we need. And that's part of what we do in that prayer, in that Kyrie, is we're asking him to give us everything we need. In the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And in that, we're asking God to give us the things that we need to support us in our bodies and in this life. And you heard some of those things read, like clothing and shoes. Did you guys hear anything else in there? Can you remember anything else we talked about in there? Clothing and shoes. Food and water. What other things? A house, a home, pets, land, animals, all those things. And God gives us those things to support us in this life. And that's how we connect that Kyrie to the Lord's Prayer too, is we're asking him to continue to be merciful to us and to give us what we need. Isn't that awesome? So now you guys know the Kyrie. There will be a test later, okay? We'll check your Greek a little bit later and everything. How's that sound? Okay, shall we pray? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you are merciful and you continue to give us all that we need in this life. We thank you especially for dying for our sins on the cross and delivering that to us in the waters of our baptism. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. You can go back to your seats. We continue now with, I believe we continue, yes, with our sermon hymn. Hymn number 580.
Thank you.
Jesus, amen. In Pastor's sermon last week on the liturgy, he asked this question, and the question is, why? Why do we worship as we do in this ordered and this prescribed way? And I think it bears repeating a couple of the points that he made last week in his sermon, and that is, first and foremost, that we need to remember that the liturgy, this order that we use, the way that we worship, does not save us. So whether we do it perfectly from one week to the other, or whether we don't, when mistakes are made, it doesn't matter. Our liturgy is a gift because what we are doing here is singing back God's words that He gives us. Singing and chanting and speaking Holy Scripture back to Him. Most importantly, the liturgy points us to the saving gifts that God has delivered to you and to me. The liturgy always points us to Christ. And secondly, in his sermon, you were reminded of that direction, and that is that, as we said, the direction of the liturgy is from God giving his gifts to us. This liturgy comes from him, his words to us, and then we are saying and speaking and chanting these things back to God. So keeping all of these things in mind, let's look at the service of the word today, where we find these gifts of God for us. Now that we have confessed our sins and heard the words of absolution spoken over us again by our pastor, we are free to continue in this dialogue in the divine service. If you look in your LSB and you look back there on page 168, you'll see that. That's where the service of the word begins, if you'd like to just mark that in your book. Also, I know that you have some handy these cards that we've provided for you that are helpful as well, and give some brief explanations of each part of the divine service as well. But if you look on page 168 there, you see the service of the word. In our divine liturgy, there are what are known as ordinaries and propers. Ordinaries refer to the things in the divine service that remain the same from week to week, such as the Kyrie and the Gloria. Propers refer to those parts of the service that are different from week to week. In our lectionary, we find that with our text, with our reading from God's holy word, the Old Testament, the introit or the psalm, the epistle reading, and the gospel. In our service of the word, we begin this portion of it with the introit. The word itself means entrance or beginning. And this is one of the oldest portions of worship from our ancient church. And thus we mark the beginning, the movement of the divine service into the hearing and proclamation of God's word for us, always pointing us to Christ. We continue in this tradition of the surviving chant tones of the ancient church. We chant those responsively. This morning we did it all together. But we do this just as our fellow saints did all of those centuries ago. And these are in the form of a psalm. Look again at the word of God we chanted together today in the 55th psalm that you find in the introit, which is in your folder. I call to God and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and the horror overwhelms me. But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. As David prayed here, some of us have had experiences of fear and trembling. We feel there's no way out of our troubles. And here we cry out, as David did, that God would give ear to our prayer and have mercy, even in our terrors of death. Notice how David ends this prayer, where he is trusting in the Lord alone for his salvation and that he will deliver him, that he is the one who will see him through. In the introit, we pray these prayers back to God from the great prayer book of the Bible, the Psalms, for there are times when we simply do not know what to pray. And ending this with the singing of the Gloria Patri, that is, affirming our confession in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit once again. We always give glory to God in all things. The Greek Kyrie Eleison is also one of the oldest prayers of the church, and it resembled the Hebrew Hosanna that I said to the children earlier, and that Hosanna means save now. Save us, O Lord. Rescue us. And this is the surviving fragment of a brief litany-type prayer of the early church. That means it's a call and response prayer, and it was originally in the Greek language. We also find this call and response in other services, such as Matins or Vespers. And in our prayer of the church, we use this, where after each petition we say, Lord, have mercy. And it is the first prayer of the divine service after confession and absolution. It is not another prayer of confession, but rather with this prayer we are expressing our need for God to be merciful as we continue to recognize our own weakness and frailty. And in this prayer we pray for food, for protection, everything that we need to sustain us in this body and life, even lower taxes. And most importantly, we pray for peace. This cry for mercy is biblical, and we see it throughout the Psalms. We hear the words, have mercy upon me, or have mercy upon us, throughout. Here are some examples. In Psalm 25:16, it says, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Elsewhere in chapter 41, Psalm 41, it says, as for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. And David says in Psalm 51, after he was found out with his sin with Bathsheba, he says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. We find this elsewhere in scriptures. In Matthew's gospel, we see this prayer in chapter 9, where the two blind men cry out, have mercy on us, son of David. Later in chapter 15, the Canaanite woman cries out the same for her daughter with, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. When we see this prayer in this light, we know that we are praying the same prayer that David and these others were praying to God, begging him for mercy, to continue to provide all they need for health, for safety, for protection, for peace. And in the catechetical review today, we find echoes of this Kyrie in the Lord's Prayer in the third and fourth petitions, where we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and give us this day our daily bread. Elsewhere in the catechism, we find this in the first article of the Creed, where we confess, I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. We pray that his will be done among us, the lowly sinful creatures that we are, and that he alone is the one from whom we receive all that we need to support us in this life. So we pray that he would continue to be merciful to us, his children. Dear saints, there are many times when this Kyrie is the best prayer, or the only prayer that we can seem to get out of our mouths. And we can be certain, as we see in the scriptures, that he does hear his people and he answers our prayers. This brings us great comfort, knowing that he hears us today in this time, just as he did with these others in scripture. Thus you can see that we are merely singing back his words to him, trusting in all his promises for us. The response to the Kyrie is immediately follows, and that's found in our Gloria. With this hymn of praise, we are proclaiming the glory of God and his merciful goodness in sending his Son into the world to be our Savior. We find this also expressed in the alternate, "This is the feast." This is the proper response to our earlier cries of mercy, that we take our eyes off of ourselves and look to our Lord, who does take mercy upon us and redeemed us with his own Son. Where do we find these words in the scriptures? In Luke chapter 2, we first hear it as the angels, the host of heaven, sang this to the shepherds on the night of Jesus' birth. They sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth." Here we hear echoes of the Kyrie as we continue to petition him to have mercy. But this is now an affirmation of us, his people, knowing that he has done this in Christ our Lord, who is now seated at the right hand of the Father. You have peace with God, and I have peace with God, not because of anything that we have done, but because of what he has done for us. This is the song of our salvation, the song of our redemption. This is good news. Dear saints, we have a wonderful gift in the liturgy. We clearly see in the liturgy Christ for us. This is not based on praying hard enough, singing and worshiping fervently enough, perfectly, getting everything right, or trying to show God how devoted we are. For you and I in this life still struggle with sin. What we are doing again here today, this morning, is an affirmation that we not only remind ourselves of our identity in Christ, but in the chanting, in the speaking and praying of Scripture, we remind our gracious Lord of his tender mercies to us, his people, from his word, as he continues to bring us his good gifts in this hearing and proclamation. And here today, in the Holy Supper once again, where you and I partake of the bread and wine, Christ's body and blood, given and shed for you and me, for forgiveness of sins. This is Christ for us, dear saints, this morning in this liturgy. You and I have been forgiven our sins, which he delivered to us in the waters of baptism. We are baptized saints of God. We belong to him. Within this divine service and liturgy, we are merely expressing, we're repeating, we're articulating God's promises to us. He has called us by his word. He has enlightened us by the gospel and continues to keep us and strengthen us in the one true faith. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.